Welcome to the Modern Yogi Podcast, an exploration of ancient wisdom.
Hello, hello, everyone.
Welcome back. We are on episode number
114.
Nice. All right. Yeah. I mean, these triple digits, they're a little hard.
A little hard, right?
Yeah.
I've been struggling.
Like, I'm not good with numbers. Sometimes.
I was about to say 114 again.
114.
So to clarify, they're a little hard to say.
What?
Okay, whatever. You guys said these triple digits are a little hard. What context have you given to the audience?
That's fair. They're a little hard to say.
Oh. Like, oh, yeah. I also looked at her like, what are you saying?
It makes no sense. They don't know what we're saying.
Yeah. It's hard to say one.
Because we were just talking about how apparently we're not capable of saying numbers after 110. Like 111 became 111. And then 112 was like.
That's true.
Was that at 1D? It was just all over the place. So.
Yeah. You know what's interesting? We all have strengths and weaknesses, okay? All
right. That is interesting.
And sometimes, you know, Krishna put us in this position to like read and do a job trying to interpret. But we're not good at math. Some of us
aren't. What are you talking about?
We all have strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on.
All right. Okay. All right. We are on chapter 14, text number 7. Anyone do want a quick recap of the last episode?
Well, the last thing we talked about was the mode of goodness. And
yes,
that was really cool.
We started a whole new chapter, which was super exciting. The three modes of material nature. And we're starting to really, we've heard so much about these modes, they bewitch us. The mode of goodness, passion, ignorance. But now we're really diving into, okay, let's actually talk about them. There's entire texts dedicated to each mode, and we're going to start breaking down what they mean.
Oh, really important. Krishna said that he impregnates Brahman. Just wanted to mention that.
Can you explain that?
What?
No, nope. What does
I think
it mean?
That doesn't need any more context.
It does.
I think everyone got it. If you need more information, please check out the last episode. Go ahead.
Say a little more.
Okay, so Krishna says, the total material
substance. You set yourself up for this.
The total material substance, called Brahman, is the source of birth, and it is that Brahman that I impregnate.
Yeah, what does that mean?
That makes it possible for all living beings to be born.
Okay.
Yeah. Krishna is a seed-giving father.
I'm just going to keep reading
things and singing the word impregnate.
Okay.
That's all. That's it. All right. Invocation, please.
Okay.
What? What? It's been a long day.
We need to surrender.
My God.
Anything else on the last episode?
I'm just going to summarize real quick. Krishna started by saying, let me tell you the most important thing. He's been doing that for 14 chapters and he really means it this time. And and he's talking about the three modes, and he was just kind of like, let me tell you, if you just understand this, like, it's just going to be amazing for you. And so then he started talking about the soul and how Krishna is the father of everyone and everyone's soul. And then we started talking about the modes of goodness in the last text. That was the last thing we just talked about, and how even though it frees us from sinful reaction, at the same time it ties us in, because it's still a connection to this material mode. Because mode of goodness, it's like, unless you're talking about transcendental mode of goodness, which is like chanting japa,
devotional
and like doing
service.
Service, bhakti yoga, unless we're talking about that. When we talk about mode of goodness, we're talking about what's still in this material world, which still keeps us bound to this material world.
Right. You become a little maybe proud of, I have so much knowledge. Look at my nice house. You become very comfortable, and it's nice to be comfortable, but if you keep sight of what's the main goal, we want to get out of here. If you become a little too comfortable, you might think, you know, I don't need anything else. I don't need spiritual life. I'm pretty happy, here. I want to stay here forever.
My life is pleasant. Yeah. What else is there to think about?
And we've talked about this before. In countries that have actually a lot of suffering, they've showed studies that it was directly correlated to those places were even more prone to being open to spirituality, because that's one of the you know, they say the different types of people who come to spiritual life. One of them is those who are suffering.
So if you want to learn more, go back to that episode. But that's pretty decent recap.
Yeah. Great recap, ladies. Mm-hmm. We all contributed so well to that.
Yes, we did.
Yes.
We
all right. Did. The invocation, please.
Oh my God. Whatever. No, I'm sorry.
That's okay. And a one, and a two, and a one, two, three.
Oh my Gyana Timirandasya.
Jananjana Shalakaya. Chakshuramali Damyena.
Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Hey, nice. Okay, translation. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto them.
That was so cringe.
What happened there?
She's still just crying. She can't.
My giggles. It's just been a buildup. It's been a buildup, and it just came out in the invocation.
These are happy
prayers.
Tears, right?
These are happy tears.
It was like, Jolly's having a meltdown. What's going on?
It melt. My face melts when I laugh so much.
That's so funny.
Tears coming out of all places.
I love it. Okay.
You sang
really nicely.
Namaha.
I closed my eyes.
Go to my namaha.
I closed my eyes so I could focus because Shamali was laughing so hard. And then when you started singing, I was so thrown off because I was like, what's happening?
Yeah, that's why I don't sing, guys. This is why I read the translation.
Shush. It had nothing to do with your voice, but more than I didn't expect it because I had closed my eyes. So I was like, oh, Krishna, what's happening? Oh, cool.
All souls are becoming one. This is what's happening.
Cool. I could feel the laughter coming, so I closed my eyes and I thought, think of something sad. And it made it even worse.
You said to yourself, think of something sad.
I did, but it didn't work.
That's
hilarious. It was already just a wave.
All right, chapter 14, text number 7, Priyadarshini.
The mode of passion is born of unlimited desires and longings. O son of Kunti, and because of this, the embodied living entity is bound to material fruitive actions. Can I read it one more time?
Yes, please.
I'm going to just read it, but also break it down. The mode of passion is born of unlimited desires and longings. So, of
wanting to enjoy just of this wanting world.
Things or wanting, just wanting is what creates the mode of passion.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And because of this, the embodied living entity, so us, we are bound to material fruitive actions. We're bound to actions which give us results.
Because of this, the embodied living entity is bound to material fruitive. Right. So when we totally give in to our desires and we enjoy, like, I'm the proprietor, it's me and I'm enjoying my senses, that just bounds us more and more. And to this, it's material
like,
realm.
It's like, oh, I really want, I don't know, whatever, ice cream. Give me an example.
Oh, Prabhupada talks about like honor in society or nation. He wants to have a happy family, nice children, a wife and a house. Like all of these things that, I mean, intrinsically, I mean, people we are want. Like, this will bring me more enjoyment.
Yeah, exactly.
He says, Prabhupada says, as long as one is hankering after these things, he has to work very hard.
Right.
So it's just that cycle of I want, so therefore I have to work for it so that I can receive that. And then I want more, so therefore I have to work for it. And then I have to receive that. And it's just kind of like a never ending cycle of passion.
Yeah.
Right. We want to enjoy the fruits of our actions. That's the part of the text that we're bound to material fruit of action. So rather than being detached by the results, okay, I'm going to maintain myself, but I know that the results are beyond me. We want to enjoy the fruits of our labor.
But not just that. I think it's also saying that just we want, therefore we work to get.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I was thinking that last part of the text. We're bound to material fruitive actions.
Because we want, we have to work to get it, right?
Yeah.
So like, and then because we want to not just enjoy the results, but we just want things, accomplishments, goals, whatever it might be materially, we have to work and get that. And it's just like a cycle of passion. Because again, this is not necessarily trying to be derivative. Like, it's not saying like this is a bad thing. It's just saying this is what passion looks like.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You have a goal, you work towards it, you achieve the goal. You have another goal.
Right.
You work towards, you achieve it. Like, it's not making it right now a point of saying like, oh, this is, it's okay if you just don't hanker after the results. We've talked about that. That's definitely the goal of Krishna consciousness and bhakti yoga. It's just saying this is passion.
This is right. This is passion embodied. Right. When the mode of passion is increased, one develops hankering for material enjoyment and we want to enjoy sense gratification.
He's literally, what's interesting about this purport is like Prabhupada said, the whole material world is more or less in the mode of passion.
Yeah. That's in order crazy, to function, right? Think about it. In order for everything to continue running, you have to have passion. It's like,
totally.
In my mind, it's the battery, right? It's like the Energizer bunny. It's that like drive and that push that gets things done. And you can use passion in Krishna's service.
Yeah.
But like, that is what passion is at the end of the day.
Yeah. Oof. Modern civilization is considered to be advanced in the standard of the mode of passion. I mean, it is a good way to see it, Priya, like you said, the battery. Even Brahma, he creates the everything in the mode of passion. Passion is the creative energy. And that's why they say, actually, you know, out of the different modes, they rank them in like most difficult to, I think, maintenance is the mode of goodness. And that's the hardest one. Destruction is the mode of ignorance. And that's the easiest. Creation is the mode of passion. And that's a little bit above that. And then maintenance is the mode of goodness. And that's the hardest. Mm. Like if you think about it, maintaining everything in your life is hard. Maintenance is hard. When we get a whim of inspiration, we're creating. That's fun. That's passion. When we destroy, that's just kind of.
But even like our own sadhana, maintenance of that sadhana is mode of goodness.
Totally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that is actually literally the hardest thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, tough. I was talking about that even the other day with my mom. I worked all day. Then I had a whole like productive, efficient afternoon where I was like, whatever, depositing checks, doing things that like managerial things that I had to do. And that was like, it was draining, but it was in a way mode of maintenance of my life. In order to function as an adult, you need the mode of goodness to maintain. You can't let things pile up, bills.
You mean the mode of passion to maintain? Or
mode of goodness to maintain. Because I wasn't creating stuff. I was just maintaining. I was putting things in order, filing stuff, paying off bills. I was doing things that I had to do. That was like all the adulting stuff. But by the end of the day, I felt good about myself. Like I felt accomplished. I felt like when I finally sat down and put my feet up, I was like, wow. I did it, everything I needed to do today. And then I went to chant. Maintenance is the mode of goodness. Like cleaning your household, like maintaining that is cleanliness is godliness. You know, like there's, so maintenance is the mode of goodness and is difficult. But
so then passion is more about that creation, that achievement, that even, goals, achievement, action.
Yeah.
Those kinds of things. And I think the last part is just, Prabhupada just, being like, let me clarify here. He goes, if there is no liberation for those in the mode of goodness, what to speak of those that are entangled in the mode of passion?
Right.
Wow. Yeah. But it's also like, it's important to like, we have all three of these things inside of us too, right? Mm-hmm. Like there are days that are going to be more passionate or more ignorant. Like just like we have these three modes within us every single day and we have the choice to elevate in certain moods.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean, also like when it's talking about like, I think it just means being in the mode of passion. Cause what does it mean to be in the mode of passion? Someone who's a workaholic.
Mm-hmm. But also to someone who's working though, right? Like isn't
not necessarily because it depends on what, like, how Shyamali likes to think about it. It's like, if you're working because you're going to, put some money towards the podcast or help a temple, or like if your goal in working is just to survive and then continue to do good services for the temple, is that considered passion?
It's still creation energy.
But maybe it's the energy that you bring to it in the moment. Like I've seen workers who are very like, imagine very like mindful, like I'm moving this to here from there to rewind. I can't speak
English.
From here to there. But I'm slow in my movements. I'm thoughtful. Passion is an energy that you have. So you could be doing the same job from one day to the next, but bring a different energy to the job.
But also like, imagine I'm just also going in the head. Anyways, I'm thinking like, what about people whose job is to be in the mode of passion? Like a doctor cannot be chill.
Oh, absolutely.
A doctor has to be reactive to the situation.
Totally.
In an immediate sense and be completely alert and like
So
what I think this is saying is more of like the whole vibe of a person, right? Like if you strive to be mode of goodness, well, you still get some attachment to this material world. If you strive to be mode of passion, also you get some attachment to this world because you're working towards achievement rather than working towards going back to Godhead.
Right.
And I think it's just like a generalization because I mean, there's the mode of, the three modes are in everything.
Yeah.
What we eat, what we listen to, what we see. Yeah. How we speak.
Relationships.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
What? Every aspect of our lives have it, right? Like
right.
every day, every hour, every, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like it's all different proportions of those three. So I think it's more talking about like if your overall mood
yeah.
is mode of passion, if that's your goal, if that's your...
Yeah. And I think like how is this like born? The verse is talking about like it's born of unlimited desires, right?
Exactly. And insatiable.
Yeah. It's like there's no end. My mom always used to say, she's like, there's no end to your desires. And I never mm-hmm. really understood that actually. But it's, she's right. Like when you want something, you get it. You're yeah. not just satisfied. You, and sooner or later, you're going to want something else.
Totally.
And that's yeah. just how desires work.
And I think there's one last way Prabhupada talks about it. Because as Priya said, these modes are in everything and even in relationships. So Prabhupada says, you know, the mode of passion can be characterized as the attraction between a man and woman, that passion, right? And that's why I think it's also so nice when you think about what do I want to create with this partnership? If you want to enter a meaningful, sustainable, lifelong partnership where you're walking this path together, you try to bring in more higher modes of goodness. We're going to be striving towards even like a transcendental state of developing this purity on this path. So passion, you know, is going to be there, but I would say to strive to not let it be the dominating overarching vibe of the relationship.
Overarching vibe.
Yeah. We're nice. The modern yogis.
We live in California.
Anything else in this verse before we move on to text 8?
No. I think that's all.
All right. Text 8, Krishna is speaking. Oh, son of Bar... Am I right?
Yeah. Okay. I was just going to say, oh, we didn't say Shamasangita.
Oh, know? Sorry. Okay, no.
Shamasangita, text 8.
Okay, cool. All right, nice to meet you. Thank you. Oh, son of Bharata, know that the mode of darkness, born of ignorance, is the delusion of all embodied living entities. The results of this mode are madness, indolence and sleep, which bind the conditioned soul. What just happened?
Okay. You want to read it one more time?
Yeah. Oh, son of Bharata, Arjuna, right? Arjuna, know that the mode of darkness, born of ignorance, is the delusion of all embodied living entities. The results of this mode are madness, indolence and sleep, which bind the conditioned soul. I did it again.
That one sounded a little more
I wanted
smooth.
To say adolescence, but it's actually indolence.
Indolence. You're saying it like you're saying a Spanish word.
I don't even know what
Can
that
I
word
just
means.
Say, I even feel these modes on ourselves as we record different episodes. Like right now, we've never recorded an episode of Modern Yogi Podcast this late. It is... I'm going to say it's almost 11 p.m. and we've had a long day of service. We've been doing lots of recording marathons. We've been... What is that
like? Indolence. Indolence.
Should have known.
Wait, so indolence is the avoidance of activity or exertion or laziness. Interesting.
So I was just going to say, it's so interesting because now that we're talking about the modes, you can see them everywhere. So like the laughing, I've had laughing fits before, but I feel extra giggly and goofy because it's just 11 p.m. almost. And we can feel different hours of the day bring different vibes.
Yeah,
you
we
know?
Are in the mode of ignorance.
We're trying not to be.
Shut up, go ahead.
It's 11 p.m.
We're trying not to be in by reading the Bhagavad Gita. We're actually engaging with spiritual activity. So we're not in the mode of ignorance.
Never mind.
Yeah. But I was going to ask about this. It's so interesting because usually it's the mode of ignorance. But in this text, Krishna says the mode of darkness.
Oh.
And then he says born of ignorance. And if we look at the previous text, the previous one said mode of passion, born of unlimited desires.
Oh.
So it almost seems like ignorance. Yeah. What did goodness say? Mode of goodness.
Being purer than the others.
It didn't say born from where. So I think I find it maybe slightly confusing because what kind of ignorance? Because it's very clear where passion comes from. Desires, right?
Yeah, desires breed passion.
That's so funny. Prabhupada says ignorance is a very peculiar qualification of the embodied soul. So yeah, your question, Priya, was what?
What kind of ignorance are we talking about here? Like just spiritual knowledge, all kinds of ignorance. Like, because why is not knowing something the cause of madness, indolence, and sleep.
Not knowing something?
Yeah, because that's what ignorance is. And that's saying, it's saying that the mode of darkness is born of ignorance. It's kind of like if I go back to passion and we're saying passion is born of desire. So desires cause us, the embodied living entity, to be bound to material fruitive actions.
I know. Prabhupada says the mode of ignorance is just the opposite of the mode of goodness. Boom.
Wait, is
there more?
Yes, nope, continue, that's all I have. In the mode of goodness, by development of knowledge, one can understand what is what. But the mode of ignorance is just the opposite.
Interesting.
Boom. Prabhupada mic drop.
Okay.
Should I continue reading?
Yes.
All right. Bria, can you help me out here?
Yeah. Where are you? You guys need a break? Okay, cool.
Everyone
under the spell of the mode of ignorance. They're having a laughing fit, but we can do this, guys. Everyone under the spell of the mode of ignorance becomes mad. And a madman cannot understand what is what.
We're madmen right now.
That's what we are right now. Instead of making
advancement, one becomes degraded.
Check.
The definition of the mode of ignorance is stated in the Vedic literature. It says, under the spell of ignorance, one cannot understand a thing as it is. Oh, it's like confusion in a sense.
Ignorance. Okay.
For example, anyone can see that his grandfather has died. Therefore, he will also die. Man is mortal. The children that he conceives will also die. So death is sure. Still, people are madly accumulating money and working very hard all day and night, not caring for the eternal spirit. Mm. This is madness. In their madness, they are very reluctant to make advancement in spiritual understanding. Such people are very lazy. Mm. Again, in some ways I get it, but in other ways it feels unclear.
What part feels unclear?
Like, where did we get lazy from? These people are working hard to make money. I mean, I don't think it's necessarily a good quality. I just don't understand where lazy came in, given what we just read.
Because I think the next line, when they're invited to associate for spiritual understanding, they're not interested. Mm. They're not even active like the man who is controlled by the mode of passion. So lazy.
They're not doing anything.
So lazy is in their desire for spiritual advancement.
Right. Okay. Yeah, because they're ignorant of, because, you know, if we talk about the light as in knowledge, we know what is what. What is our goal of this life when we're making steps in that direction? Darkness would be total delusion. So they're ignorant to what is the path of light and righteousness and knowledge. They're not even trying to make advancement and they're not interested. They're ignorant.
You know, I find it another part. Maybe we just need to keep reading so that I can get more clarification, because in this moment, what I'm thinking is goodness was independent of the spiritual path. Passion was independent of the spiritual path. It was a definition of just how our body, our karma, how all of it interacts with this world, which is we have desires and we act a certain way, right? And goodness was we do good things, quote unquote, right? Like we do, it's again, despite spiritual progress, but in terms of ignorance, it's being said that it's laziness. They don't have interest in associating with spiritual understanding, but passion had what? Like we could say that people want things and they're not thinking about spiritual.
Desires.
Yeah. They have desires and they're not thinking about spiritual progress in that way too.
So going back to mode of goodness, right? Goodness is like they're doing things for what reason?
Again, I mean, the definition was kind of like just being purer than others. It's
scientists, philosophers, you're accumulating knowledge.
Yeah.
And I think ignorance is just a rejection of doing anything. Like there's this one line where it's even one symptom of embedded into the mode of ignorance is that he sleeps more than is required, right? So 6 hours of sleep is sufficient. A man in the mode of ignorance is like 10 to 12, right? And so I think like even just the aspect of not doing anything is the opposite of what should be done.
Right, because it's,
I don't know.
It's saying a man who's in ignorance is like addicted to intoxicants, sleeping. These are symptoms of a person conditioned by the mode of ignorance.
Yeah, that's the part that helps me understand it better. It's almost like, that line that you read is what I was going to say too. It's like leaning towards low frequency activities.
Totally, yeah.
Like where you are attracted to less. That's where I guess lazy comes into, right? It's like doing less, doing
So I think people in the mode of goodness are doing good things because it brings peace and happiness, right?
Right.
People in the mode of passion
and knowledge.
And knowledge, right? People in the mode of passion are doing things because it fulfills their desires, right? Mm-hmm. You achieve money, blah, blah, blah.
Achievement, creation, yeah. Artists.
People in the mode of ignorance don't even have any goals, and so they don't do anything.
Mm. Yeah, like you walk into like, I don't know, a lazy stoner's room, and they're just like smoking all day and just no job and just like, ignorance. Yeah. Totally.
They say that exactly. Quote. ignorance.
I think it's also the way now my brain is wrapping around where how I'm understanding it now is passion is action. Ignorance is inaction.
I get how Prabhupada's example confused you because that was an example of a man working so hard. And he was using that in terms of ignorance of your spiritual path. So you were like, it was confusing as to why then is this the one mode that he compared it in
to
terms
spiritual
of a spiritual
progress,
path.
Whereas the other ones seem to be a little bit more, but he did actually connect the other ones also.
Yeah. So maybe that's just one example he gave, but in general, it doesn't even have to be with, forget about the man working hard. It's just a whole state of being, ignorance.
Ooh, I think the next verse might actually answer some of these questions.
Okay. Ooh, exciting. Okay. Shall we do it?
Shamali.
Yeah. O son of Bharat, the mode of goodness conditions one to happiness. Passion conditions one to fruitive action. And ignorance, covering one's knowledge, binds one to madness.
Okay, I actually do understand it better with that.
Yeah.
Wait, so can you say, because it might help all of us understand it deeper, what was it you were confused about and what is your answer to your confusion?
I think it was just the fact that it was talking about mode of darkness being ignorance. And then I said ignorance of what? Like, what is it ignorance of? But I think what this has clarified for me is it's covering one's knowledge. And when I think about this in a very like everyday life, normal context and not like a very philosophical context, I think of a person who's in an argument, who's not able to perceive the other person's perspective because they're being covered from seeing the knowledge, just from seeing
knowledge period, anything.
Yes. From understanding. Right. So there's, just like not being able to understand many things. It doesn't have to be spiritual, but obviously in this case, it will be spiritual. It's Does that make sense?
Yes. Mm. It's like the story, ignorant to knowledge or a bigger picture beyond yourself. It's like the story of the frog in the well. Did we say that ages ago? That because it's kind of the stories to illustrate, how do you know that there's nothing beyond this world if you've only experienced this world? And that's ignorance. It's like this frog lived in this well and he just thought that was his whole world. And then a frog jumped into the well who had been outside and he starts
isn't
describing.
That allegory of the cave? Isn't that like a philosophical term that is, anyways, go on.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. And the frog that jumped into the well, I'm paraphrasing, but essentially he started telling this other frog who's lived in the well his whole life, like, there's like the ocean out there. And the frog from the well was like, but how big is this ocean? It can't be bigger than this well. Mm. And the other frog's like, oh no, it's so much bigger. And the frog's like, but how much bigger? Come on. No. And he's like, oh no. Like, he's like, what? Just double this size? And he's like, no, so much bigger. And the frog in the well is ignorant to the reality beyond his own little bubble.
Mm. Yeah. And I think that's a great example. And I think it binds one to madness is because once, I mean, again, if we continue with that, even the frog analogy situation, it's like the frog, maybe the other frog goes back to the ocean and what was it?
Two frogs.
Fountain? No, it was
Well,
I don't know why my brain
it's 11 p.m. For us.
We've been really late.
Doing a lot.
The frog in the well, once the other frog leaves, is thinking, there's no way.
Yeah.
And like, maybe not. It's just like, it becomes so much for the mind that it binds one to madness.
Because that guy is thinking that other frog is insane.
Mm. Yeah. That also.
Yeah. I mean, I think it can bind one to madness in so many different ways. Because madness, madness can also be like, someone who's living their life in total delusional ignorance, darkness. And you think this is, you walk in, like, let's say the house is trashed. They're not doing anything to, come on, this is madness. And you like almost like open the blinds, like get out there, do
see
something.
The world. There's better.
And addiction can create that state
absolutely.
Of madness too, right?
That is total madness.
And Yeah, totally. Okay. Can we read this one sentence at a time?
Totally.
It's a very short one and I think it might be nice.
Yeah.
Yes. I'll start.
Okay.
A person in the mode of goodness is satisfied by his work or intellectual pursuits, just as a philosopher, scientist, or educator may be engaged in a particular field of knowledge and may be satisfied in that way.
Makes sense. Yes. Mm-hmm.
a man in the mode of passion may be engaged in fruitive activity. He owns as much as he can, and he spends for good causes.
Okay. Sometimes he tries to open hospitals, give to charity institutes, etc.
Institutions.
I mean, oh, institutions. Yes.
These are signs of one in the mode of passion.
And the mode of ignorance covers knowledge.
In the mode of ignorance, whatever one does is good neither for him nor for anyone. Yeah, there you go.
But I it's just like the vagueness of the mode of ignorance is hard right. for me. The other ones, like, he's like, this is the kind of person. This is what they're kind of doing. And the mode of ignorance is just like, it's just not good.
No. Okay, so the person in the mode of ignorance, what's their day like? They wake up in the afternoon because they've slept 12 hours. They probably are not motivated to keep a job. They are probably struggling with addiction. They live in this world of like that. They don't have that motivation to do anything. Mm.
You know what? This is why I think a spiritualist can have so much compassion for everybody, because I just could picture so many different scenarios of people you might know in real life or people depicted in movies who are in this total mode of ignorance. Mm-hmm. A lot of times those people are in that mode of ignorance because they're so dissatisfied with the world and they mm-hmm. haven't found a path that inspires them. So they're just like, what is the point? It's like that apathetic stance they take just out of like, ugh. Nothing, everything's meaningless. Yeah. And so they are really actually philosophical and inquisitive, but they haven't found an outlet. So they're totally, their souls just, they're deflated.
Yeah. And I think addiction, especially in this country, is such a crazy thing because like we're living in like the worst mental health crisis that we've ever had. I was reading this article about how about like 30% of people that go into a psychiatrist's office, like they get prescribed Xanax, like before anything else, meditation, like breath work, anything else, they get prescribed like drugs. Mm. And I was watching another documentary on like the fentanyl crisis in this country where it's like insane. If you ever see someone who's on fentanyl, it's like that is the mode of ignorance for sure, because I don't know what has led them to that particular, to take that particular drug, but it literally like puts you in a state of like paralyzed and it's just like, oh, it's like,
what is that prescribed for something in particular?
I think they use fentanyl in hospitals for something.
Okay.
But when you overdose on it and then it just like paralyzes your body and it's just like, oh, that's mode of ignorance for sure.
It's so intense.
Yep.
And sometimes these things are karmic, and if, you know, we know someone, we can try to give them some mode of goodness and also just understand. I think it's really tough.
Oh, so tough. Yeah.
Tough position and situation too.
That last line in the mode of ignorance, whatever one does is neither good for him nor for anyone. Oof.
Mm-hmm. Intense.
Yeah. That's a rough one.
And that's why if you're going to be so inspired by this and wanting to spread it, I think it's so important to be sensitive to where the person is at. Who is your audience? So if they are in total, utter mode of ignorance, get them to the mode of passion. Get them outside. Get them moving. Get them going, as we've said. And then if they're a mode of passion, get them to goodness. Get them doing something that will bring knowledge and light and peace.
Or even if you're feeling that way, do that for yourself. Yeah. Go on a walk. Go outside. Get some sun. But also another thing that we were talking about, we had dinner and we had having a chat, all of us, the team, and we were talking about like that sometimes there's a bit of compassion missing when someone is just struggling in Krishna consciousness, because what they get is, oh, just chant Hare Krishna Prabhu.
We're not this body, Prabhu.
We're not this body. It's going to be okay. You know, and sometimes that's really not what we need in that moment. We need compassion and empathy and humanity.
Yeah.
And so if you are struggling with being caught up in the mode of ignorance, it happens. I think for me personally, I am usually a very happy sunshine kind of person. I'm not really bogged down by anything. But earlier this year, I was depressed for about 2-3 weeks and I felt incapable of wanting to do anything. Like just, there was like a chemical reaction in my body where I just couldn't get myself to care. Mm. I felt in the mode of ignorance. Like I just wanted to sleep. I was overwhelmed. I was, and I've never experienced anything like this before. I wouldn't even recognize that that's what I was experiencing if I hadn't spoken to someone about it. And I think like, what is good to know is that these situations can come and go. We can overcome. Sometimes it's planetary. Sometimes it's karmically. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just life is really tough. And we don't always, we won't always be in that position. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to others. And be a human being. You don't have to be a perfect devotee in those situations. You just try a little bit better.
Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate that. And I feel like sometimes when I'm like in a sad place, I feel like my sleeping increases too. I can sleep 10, 11 hours where it's just like, whoa, I think we all have a little bit of these three things inside of us, you know, it's just being aware of all of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for sharing your vulnerability. And it's powerful that when we can see that we're all going through this together and life is difficult and it can be a struggle and there will be ups and downs, and to be gentle with ourselves and others. Yeah. We never know what battle someone is fighting internally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think the mode of ignorance, it really gets a lot of hate as a mode.
Yeah.
But it's just part of life. Yes. Sometimes it happens. And so can we just be understanding and equipoise that good, bad, who's to say for the moment, but we always strive to get spiritualized, right? Like that's just it. That's what we're trying to do. Yeah. Try to get connected. Try to be a little bit, like you said, go outside, get some sunshine, get moving.
Yeah.
You know,
and what Krishna says, if you can't do this, do this. If you can't do this, do this. Right. And so like, what's the lowest common bar to get you to like a higher place of consciousness? And sometimes it's hard and sometimes you can't do anything, and that's okay.
Yeah. Give yourself a break.
Give yourself grace.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, do you remember what chapter it's where Krishna goes, if you can't do this, do this. If you can't do this.
That's a good question. You should talk amongst yourselves until I find that, until I find that chapter.
Should we start text 10?
Is it me? Or who is it? Yeah.
I don't know. The mode of ignorance at 11 p.m. has overcome my intelligence to know where we are.
Oh, Krishna Chaitanya. We just did text 9, Priya.
Yeah.
We started in 7.
We just did
8, 9.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay. Sometimes the mode of goodness becomes prominent, defeating the modes of passion and ignorance, O son of Bharata. Sometimes the mode of passion defeats goodness and ignorance, and other times ignorance defeats goodness and passion. In this way, there's always competition for supremacy.
That's so real.
Funny. A competition for supremacy. That's so interesting.
Yeah. And it's true. It's what we were talking about, right? We're not like, really, I've never experienced that before in my life. I'm usually like sunny. Maybe I'm like a mixture of passion and goodness, like given the day.
Right, right.
With a lot of ignorance in there, but it's not the predominant one.
Nah.
And that one won for a couple of weeks. So it's just, you know, they're competing.
They are constantly competing.
Yeah.
And to answer your question, it's chapter 12 when Krishna's like, hey, if you can't do this, you can do this. Nice. And if you can't do that, do this. And then he goes on for a couple.
Nice. Very nice.
It's called loophole alert.
So it's interesting to think they're in competition. So Prabhupada continues explaining further, like when the mode of goodness is prominent, that means passion and ignorance are defeated, and vice versa with all the modes. Whichever one is prominent, the other two have been defeated. So that's why when one's actually intent on advancing in Krishna consciousness, we need to get beyond and transcend these three modes.
Also, Prabhupada says the prominence of certain modes of nature is manifested in one's dealings, in his activities, eating, and etc. So like what we do, so in our daily lives, like how we eat maybe make us feel more lethargic.
Right.
Or like how much activity or sunshine we get makes us feel maybe more in the mode of darkness, right? Like all of these things affect which mode wins on a daily, hourly, monthly, weekly, whatever.
Minute by minute.
basis.
Can I say one interesting thing about eating? Because this can kind of connect to the purport, because Prabhupada was afterwards saying like, we can actually develop by practice the mode of goodness and thus defeat ignorance and passion. And I thought even as simple as something with eating, can I tell just a brief little story that's nice about eating?
No.
Yes.
No.
Because the way we eat can be so mindful of, like Prabhupada used to sit down just in front of his prasadam and honor the prasadam. And it's such a deep process. And this story shows why we even say honoring prasadam. So there's the story of this deity, Alanath. It's this version of Krishna when he... it could be two stories. It's so good. Anyway, I'll try to summarize. So basically there was this community of Smarta Brahmanas where they do kind of basically all of these offerings, but it's very ritualistic and it's more almost for like a business. And this little boy, I forget the boy's name, but the boy, the father was about to leave and he in charge the boy of like, okay, so what, now that I'm going to be gone, you need to offer the food offerings to Alalanath. I know I'm butchering the name and I'm not good with names, but okay. Let's say it's Alalanath.
Let's call it Alalanath.
I should have done some backstory.
Krishna. Okay. Is it Krishna?
It's the form of actually, you know, in the Rasa dance, when the gopis, they all are getting a little bit that, you know, Krishna manifests himself in many Krishnas to make every gopi feel like she's dancing with him. And then they all get a little bit maybe proud thinking, oh, he's really just with me. I have the real Krishna.
Mm-hmm. Quote unquote.
So Krishna runs off to kind of like almost like teach them a lesson of like, no, they're getting a little proud. So he leaves and he takes this form of, he manifests four arms like, Vishnu, like, and the gopis are running past looking for him and they get there. They're like, oh, Narayan, have you seen Krishna? Have you seen Krishna? And Krishna, but really it's Krishna inside, but sprouting his arms. He's like, yeah, I think Krishna went that way or in that direction. He leads them off his mark. And then when Radharani comes by and she said, oh, Narayan, have you seen Krishna? And she's really asking. And Krishna was so melted by Radharani's mood that he could no longer sustain this facade and his arms melted back into himself and it's Krishna again. And you know, they're all excited and the gopis sit back down and Krishna's there and they're talking. And so this form of Krishna that he kind of sprouts out his arms, that's Alalanath, the name that I can't remember. So there's this connects to the story then of intentionally eating in the mode of goodness, because then this little boy, when his father had to leave, the father in charge, the boy of offering the food to the deity, this form of Krishna. So the boy takes the food there and he's like, okay, please Alalanath or Alalanath, however you say it, please
just say
this.
Krishna for now.
I'll say Krishna for now. Okay. Please, Krishna, eat this prasadam. I don't know what I'm doing or exactly how to do the offering, but please accept this. And then the boy leaves for 10 minutes and then comes back and looks and he sees the food still there. And of course, Krishna can accept the food by just his glance. Mm. He doesn't have to accept it through his mouth, but the boy didn't know that. So the boy gets exasperated. But Krishna, my mom will think I'm not doing it correctly. Please eat the food. I'm offering it to you. And he does the offerings, the prayers, and then leaves. And then he comes back a third time and he sees it. Oh my God, Krishna. And he starts like pleading and begging. And Krishna's so overcome by this little boy's faith that Krishna like then eats all the food. And when the boy comes back, he's all excited and he takes the plate to his mom. Okay. And the prasadam's gone. And the mom is kind of a little confused and doesn't know what happened, but okay. And day after day, this happened until the father comes back from his travels and he says, okay, can I have some remnants of the offerings? And the mother tells him there's been no remnants. He comes back empty handed every day. And the father gets angry. So the father says, tomorrow you're going to take me there and I'm going to hide behind a pillar and we're going to see what happens.
Because he thought the little boy was eating.
He thought the little boy was lying. Wow. So he hides behind the pillar to watch. And the boy goes up and says, please, Krishna, please eat the prasadam. If you've been doing that, my word is at stake here. They're going to think I've been lying to you the whole time. So please accept it. So then, and he's praying and praying. So the deity's so moved again that his hand moves to grab the prasadam. And the father jumps from behind the pillar and grabs the deity's hand and says, stop, what are you doing? The food is for us. And then the deity gets so angry and says, you had no faith. You thought that I couldn't even move because I'm a rock and I couldn't accept this, because the father had gone on and on like this. And he says, and not only that, you want it for yourself. You're so selfish. Your entire village shall perish except for your son who has the most faith. And a few days later, a tsunami came and the whole village was taken and only the boy lived.
So he was Noah. Okay, I'm just kidding.
Sure.
Oh. No, I'm just kidding.
So the point is, though, the boy had such faith that when we eat, this has been food that has been offered. Krishna's hands and lips has been on this food. So when we eat it, we have to remember, oh my God, I am eating something that has been offered to the Lord himself, that the Lord touched with his own very hands, even if I couldn't see it. So we honor prasadam. So when it says in the mode of goodness, we need to try to refine our dealings and our activities, how we eat, how we do everything. That's why we honor prasadam, because it's not just like, okay, the offerings and then, okay, whatever, ring the bell and eat it. Mm. No, the Lord himself has touched this. And if we can remember this, this is a real divine person who has done that. And we forget it. We get caught up in the, it's late, let me eat this, I just did the prayers mindlessly. No, it's not like that at all. We're dealing with the Lord himself.
Yeah, that's really important to remember, because I think we've all been guilty of just like, okay, Krishna,
and just eat.
And without understanding that, like, oh, wow, God himself has actually had this, and we've offered it with our heart, and he's had it, and now it's like really sanctified.
You know what's the cherry on top of that story, which I've already told the bulk of it. It'll take 10 more seconds. It's just basically that when Lord Chaitanya, we've talked about Lord Chaitanya is like Krishna in the mood with feeling Radharani's sentiments. So when Lord Chaitanya went to see the deity of Lord Jagannath in Jagannath Puri, he felt such ecstatic symptoms that he like melted. And you can go to this place and you see, I think he's like half of his body or his limbs melted on a rock in Jagannath Puri. But when Lord Chaitanya went to this one particular place and saw the deity of Alalanath or Alanath, which I still don't remember how to pronounce, the deity himself, which is Krishna actually with pretend like the form of the four arms in front of Lord Chaitanya, who's Radharani's sentiments, the deity itself turned back into Krishna's form because he couldn't contain this form of Narayan in front of Lord Chaitanya's sentiments, which are that of Radharani. And Lord Chaitanya felt such ecstatic symptoms, even greater than in Jagannath Puri, that he melted and his entire body is still to this day. You can go to that place and see his entire body melted into this rock. And in Jagannath Puri, you only see half of it. So even greater than, like, it gets very esoteric. So this whole story is very beautiful. I'll later on correct the most important thing, which was the name that I couldn't remember.
The name
remember.
Of Krishna?
That's okay. But it's very
thank you
beautiful.
For sharing
and
that.
It's all about honoring prasadam also very intentionally. And
yeah, and also like how much it matters what, like Prabhupada was saying, the prominence of some certain mode of nature is manifested in one's dealing and his activities is eating, etc. Right. So like eating prasadam, it's the most mode of goodness thing. Well, I don't even know if it's mode of goodness or transcendental thing we can do.
Probably mode of goodness if you're doing it mindfully, and transcendental if you're thinking Krishna himself has touched this and now I'm connecting with Krishna through honoring this prasadam.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah. Anything else on text number 10?
I think just the last sentence, unless you want to say something else, Shyamali.
If one is determined, he can be blessed by the mode of goodness, and by transcending the mode of goodness, he can be situated in pure goodness, which is called the Vasudev state, a state in which one can understand the science of God.
Yeah. And because all of these things are constantly competing in us, right? Ignorance, passion, and goodness. If we, whatever we're determined to, we can elevate. And if we're, and I think that requires a level of self-awareness first and foremost, and then like determination to want to be better.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the final sentence here is Prabhupada says, by the manifestation of particular activities, it can be understood in what mode of nature one is situated. So how you communicate, how you behave, like in general, like you can read where a person is in terms of mode of passion, ignorance, or goodness based on, you know.
Based off of what they do in life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, it's facts.
Yeah.
Sometimes Abhijit has a lot of energy and he's like in the mode of getting stuff done. And I'm like, you're like radiating like Energizer Bunny mode of passion. Like, I got to get this done. I got to get this done. You know, like, and you can tell when someone's like peaceful and mode of goodness. And you can tell when someone's like, I want nothing. I don't want to think about anything.
You're like, I just want to Netflix and chill all day. And
you know, exactly.
Everyone's in a different mode. And those modes can change every day. And those modes compete with each other. So we just got to be self-aware and try to elevate as much as possible.
Heck yeah.
All right. Please join us next time for chapter 14, text number 11.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Hello, beautiful souls. If you like what you're hearing, please follow us on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast.
And if you love what you're hearing, please make sure to share a link to our podcast at Modern Yogi Podcast with all your friends, families, and long lost cousins.
And if you have any questions at all, send us a DM on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast, and we'll be sure to get back to you.
Thank you for listening to
The Modern Yogi.